Okay. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining this next talk about TypeScript, scaling up JavaScript applications. So in this talk, I would really like to deep dive or double click on the TypeScript language and show you how to actually write TypeScript, understand the language, what are the semantics, what are the advantages. It will be heavily hands-on demos, and we will have maybe 10 minutes in the end for Q&A. So I have a microphone here with me. We can do this interactive. I'm Benjamin from the Microsoft Monaco team. And I would like to start by just explaining what we do in Monaco. So we are collaborating with the TypeScript team, I would say, from very early days, where TypeScript was still only available internally at Microsoft. And our mission is to develop modern web standards-based developer tools, platform, and cloud services. Well, that's a strong statement. What does it really mean? What we try to achieve is whenever you see source code on a web page from Microsoft, you find Monaco components being used there in the back. And that can be an editor, a workbench to actually develop with your code. So we really try to fill this gap. And I would like to show some of the examples where you can see this already today. So if you look at Visual Studio Online, TFS, you can actually see commits and you can click on a commit. And this div view is the Monaco editor, div editor component written in TypeScript. So as Eric was pointing out in the keynote, we have a 100% TypeScript code base, over 200,000 lines of code. And the div editor is one example. We will use the TypeScript playground today for understanding the language and seeing how it actually converts to JavaScript. And in this playground, again, the Monaco editor is being used. And it's a very nice way to just understand the language with simple small snippets and then seeing the result on the other side. Recently, OneDrive added the support. If you have any textual file in your OneDrive, you can open it in the web and you can use the Monaco editor to make changes to the file without actually checking it out to your disk, and it's very nice. And then the largest component, the full Monaco workbench, is available in Azure. If you edit a website, you can actually enable Monaco, and then you get a full coding workbench. And besides the editor, you will find typical things like Explorer, Search, Git integration, and so on. So that's the background of our team. And what's also interesting is that we actually started with JavaScript and then we converted to TypeScript. So we have some history with JavaScript, so we can actually talk about what are the challenges if you start with JavaScript. So let me go back to the slides here for a moment. And and talk about JavaScript. So large-scale JavaScript development is hard, is something that we learned over time. So we started with JavaScript. We are hardcore JavaScript developers. And we were starting to adopt TypeScript over time until 100%. So JavaScript, when it was invented, at a time, I think, 95, it was not really meant for these single-page applications that we see today, where we have really powerful applications that run in the browser with 100,000 lines of code, JavaScript, maybe even more. That was not the original intent when JavaScript was created. So JavaScript was a language created for different purposes. At that time, they couldn't foresee how JavaScript is being used today. why is it hard to develop JavaScript? It's mainly because it is actually hard for a tool writer to provide good tooling for JavaScript. Because the languages that we've learned from Eric's keynote is forgiving, is very dynamic, is not statically typed. So as a tool developer, which we are in DevDiv at Visual Studio, it's hard to implement a tool for JavaScript that is really providing you with all the features you're used to from Visual Studio, like refactoring or go to definition, powerful searches, because you don't have a static type system. And without powerful tools, a complex application is hard to maintain. The larger the application grows, you will have APIs, you will have components, you work in a team, you have different responsibilities, you might want to communicate contracts, how your functions should be called, and the only thing you can do in JavaScript maybe is you can write a lot of unit tests to make sure that your project works, but at some point you want to change the way your code works, maybe introduce modules, and then you have to refactor. And there really what you want is better tooling support. So TypeScript is the answer from Microsoft DevDiv team to actually enable this tooling by introducing a new language. Now, the goal is not to actually come up with a language that is very far away from JavaScript. So the goal is really to keep the good parts of JavaScript. So there's a book about the good parts of JavaScript. It's not all bad. But on top of that, add exactly the missing pieces that enable good tooling support for the language. And TypeScript is actually a typed superset of JavaScript. So it compiles to plain JavaScript. When you look at the output of the generated JavaScript, it's very easy to read. Formatting is nice, so you can actually debug your JavaScript code, look at it, and you feel at home. It's like as if you've written it yourself. It adds typing on top of JavaScript. It adds a very powerful type inference system that we will learn later in the demos. And it adds those common things we are used from C# or Java, like classes and interfaces on top of that. And the interesting thing is if you work with JavaScript, you will actually come up with these patterns on your own. So you start to use a class system in JavaScript, which is using whatever prototype on JavaScript. And there are patterns, and these patterns are now really as part of the language. And then the type system that is added on top is really useful, and we will see that in the demo. Because TypeScript compiles down to JavaScript, you can run it on any browser and any host. So there's no Microsoft-specific code or TypeScript-specific code left over in your generated JavaScript. And on top of that, the language service and the compiler is open source. So we see other companies providing TypeScript tooling because of this. So open source, they can use it in their products. And this is really healthy for the ecosystem around TypeScript. So in a nutshell, JavaScript is already totally valid TypeScript. So you can actually go ahead and compile your JavaScript code, and it will work. You can just copy and paste it into the playground, and you will see there's no compile error. And this is very important because JavaScript has a very dynamic and large ecosystem, and there's lots of libraries already out there, and they are all written in JavaScript, and they will probably also not convert to TypeScript, so you will use JavaScript frameworks in your project, even if you use TypeScript. And this means that you can have a mix of your TypeScript code and your JavaScript code, and they can just live together without any issues. And then, on top of that, if you want to, and we will see that it's really what you should do, you can actually add static typing to your code You can use classes, modules. And once you do that, you will see that the tooling starts to pick on these static types and give you nice features like find references or refactorings. Once you compile the code to JavaScript, these types go away, so there's no additional cost that you have when you use TypeScript, because at runtime, these types are totally going away, and you're just left behind with your JavaScript code. So with that, I can start a first demo, an introduction to TypeScript. And for this, I'm using the playground, which you can actually reach on typescriptlang.org. So I will try to make this readable as much as possible for the people that sit behind, because I know it's not so easy to see. The TypeScript playground on the left-hand side shows the TypeScript code I'm typing, and on the right-hand side, it compiles the TypeScript code just in time to see what's happening. So I will start with a simple function, which is all in JavaScript. And we will build on top of this function. We will slowly add TypeScript-specific code to see how the tooling is actually helping us here. And when I talk about tooling, I mean that in this editor, the TypeScript language service is actually running in the browser, because the TypeScript language service is written in TypeScript, compiled to JavaScript, so I can actually leverage it here in the editor. And with this JavaScript that I pasted, the outcome is actually exactly the same. You will even see that my formatting rules are all kept, so very easy for me to understand what's going on here. The idea of this function is, by the way, take something, make a copy of it, and then sort it on the name property. So one important concept of TypeScript is that it has a very strong type inference system. And we haven't used any type here, so what TypeScript language service will tell us is this A is an any type. And any is something that is always like the base unknown type that you will start with as soon as you copy JavaScript code over. And this really means it's not type specific. So we can start introducing a type, and the syntax for adding a type is by using the colon notation. So that's just the way the syntax in TypeScript. And what we can say is our sort by name function really wants an array of something. At least that is something we can say, because we want to sort. And there's some interesting things happening as soon as we start doing this. So for once, the language service now knows, okay, you're dealing with an array. This means something to me. And for instance, on the A type, this means all the methods on an array are now available to me, because the language service knows JavaScript gives me these methods for every array. Beyond that, it also understands that the slice method returns an array. So now suddenly my result is actually an any, although I didn't type it, so this is type inference. And it also knows that there's a sort function on result. And it knows that this is an any again, which is returned. So my whole function is something that takes an any and it returns an any. So the colon any at the end is actually the return type of the function. Now let's go a little bit into this and start introducing a type. So instead of the any, we would really like to talk about something more concrete here. Interfaces are a very lightweight way to describe a structural type in TypeScript. We will later use classes. Classes are more heavyweight. There's more semantic to it. So an interface allows me to describe all the properties of the type. And if you look at the generated code on the other side, the interface is not showing up in my generated code. because it's really just a type information. So now we can go here and say, well, I would like this any to be entity. And now the any type is actually totally away out of our code, which is good. We want to have strong typing. And we see that we actually had a bug in our code here that we didn't see before. Local compare actually does not exist. So let's just type this in a way we would type it if we had this before. So we get IntelliSense now, interestingly, even for the X type, because the sort method is of type entity array, and this means X and Y are actually entities. So we have a name. Name is a string, so we get all the string methods here, like local compare, which is actually what we want. We even get parameter hints because we understand what the function has in parameters. We also get JS doc comments, which is very helpful to learn all these methods. And so we can actually just complete this and by fixing the error. So back to the interface, I was talking about structural typing. And what structural typing really means is that anything that has this name property will actually be structural compliant with our identity contract. This is also referred to duck typing in other languages. So if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it must be a duck. And so it's a description of the properties, and any type that has this property is a valid identity. So let's add some more type information to our entity, like a price, and start to instantiate this entity by just creating a small literal here. Again, IntelliSense inside the object literal, because I say this is an identity, so it must have a name, my entity, and it can have a price of something. Let's see what happens if I change my contract here and say every entity also needs to have an in-stock property. So now the contract is no longer valid for the my entity that I created. The compiler knows that something cannot be converted to the type you're actually declaring here. So I can go ahead and just fix this error and say, yes, this is in stock. One useful thing with interfaces is you can always make a property optional by using the question mark syntax. And then the my entity no longer must implement this in-stock property if it doesn't want to, so I can just remove it. However, if my entity wants to implement the in-stock property, it must be of the correct type. So I cannot just go ahead now and say, well, in-stock is of type number. So it's an optional type, but the types must really match with what I have declared before. Finally, there is a way to declare functions as properties here. So I can say I have a getName and a setName function. And the syntax I'm using here is lambda expressions. So we will learn that this is a language feature of TypeScript that allows me to write a function signature in a very short format, and I think if you know C#, it's very similar to that. And now I have to go ahead and actually implement these functions down here. So I can say we return this dot name, and we have a set name where we just set this name. Okay, so you can build up your interfaces with properties, with functions. You have optional types. And these Boolean number string, these are like the built-in JavaScript types that are provided. So like You can use them anytime in the same way you can also use the array. So you don't have to define those. I have a second demo now, which we will also do here in the playground. And there I would like to make our sort function a little bit more interesting by using generics. For this, I have another snippet prepared that will focus a little bit on the usage of the sort function. So I'm taking our existing example here. I'm just reducing the identity back to just having a name because it's a very basic interface. And I'm actually instantiating an array down here that I would like to sort. And what's interesting here is I have an array of something that has a name, a price, and an ID, but I'm not really specifying a type here. Still, if I look at the language service and see what the language service tells me about this array, I can see that it is an array of something that has a name, price, and ID. So this type is inferred, and that is a very powerful concept of TypeScript. You will see that type inference really helps you to build, to have type safety without you specifying types. And what this means is, if I remove a property down here, this thing is no longer having an ID, so he takes the smallest common type that he can find in this list, and now it's just name and price. Okay, let's use our sort function with a set of products and have a look at the result that we get back. So we return an array of identity. So somehow we lost some of our type information here that we would like to have. So if I look at the properties of the sorted products, I'm no longer seeing my price and ID tag here. So what I would really like to have is a way that the type I'm passing into this function is also the type that I get back. And this is where generics come to rescue. So let's beef up our sort by name function and actually use generics. So to generify my function, all I have to do is introduce this generic parameter up here and then saying I actually would like to use t as the generic parameter in my function. Now, the first thing you will notice is that name is no longer available because t is a generic type that doesn't define any properties. So there's no description of this type. So we can fix this easily by saying let t extend identity, and then anything that is passed in as t will actually have a name property, and this compile error goes away. So let's take a look at the result and see what sorted products is actually now providing for us. And we see now we actually get a type returned, which is exactly the type that we passed in. So the sorted products that I get back from my sort function are actually of the type. And what's really cool here is that the products get an inferred type. I didn't specify any type. I pass them to a function that uses generics, and the inferred type actually flows all the way back. So very powerful concept to use generics in this example. Let's try to actually see the output of the sorted products by writing this result to the DOM. And you see we actually have full IntelliSense for the DOM, and I will show later how this is possible. So I can just stringify the result here. I just have to pass in sorted values. Then I think there's a replacer, and then we use for spaces. And then if I run this code, I get my products sorted. Let's make this a little bit more interesting and actually enhance our sort method by providing a callback function, which is very common in JavaScript. You have a lot of functions, and see how we can actually use lambdas to make this very convenient. So I will go here and add a new parameter to the sort method that will give me a key to sort on later. So let's say it's a key of t that returns something to sort on. So I have to do it like this, yeah. And we will use this function down here to get the key of x and the key of y. You can just duplicate this line. And then instead of explicitly using the name property, we will actually compare key of x with key y minus 1. Otherwise, if it's larger, we say it should be 1. And otherwise, it should be 0. OK, so now we have the ability to define the way we want to sort our products. And what's more interesting is now how I can pass in this function to the sort by method. So usually you would start to type function, whatever, parentheses. But there is a nice short handle using lambdas. And it goes like this. You just use this fat arrow notation. And then the parameter t that I have here is actually of our type, because this is how the signature looks like. And the language service then gives me all the properties that are available on this type into my IntelliSense here. And again, this is all by flowing the type into the method and into this parameter. So we can change to actually sort by price. And if we run this, the order is by price. So lambdas, very powerful feature. They are coming in ECMAScript 6. So one thing, if we look at the output, actually, you will see that the way the lambda expression is converted into JavaScript is exactly how you would have written it if you would have just typed function t and return t.price. So this means all the concepts that you have in TypeScript will be compiled into a form in JavaScript that is even compatible with very old browsers. So for instance, this function t return t price will work in any browser. It's not specific to JavaScript 5 or even beyond. So most of the language features in TypeScript are really aligned with what ECMAScript 6 will provide. So in ECMAScript 6, there will be lambdas. They will look exactly the same as TypeScript. And that's one goal, to be able to already use the ECMAScript 6 features now without waiting and without browsers adopting it, without having to wait until these features come out, because they are really a productivity feature that are nice to use. The next thing is I would like to quickly show how actually the language service understands the DOM API. So we have seen that arrays are already somehow understood magically. We have seen that all the DOM API is provided globally for you. And for this, I'm switching to Visual Studio quickly. Visual Studio has a plugin to use TypeScript, but as of the update 2013, TypeScript is a officially supported language, so you will be able to create TypeScript projects in Visual Studio without installing any features. Currently, the update 2 is in RC release candidate, so it's not yet out, but you can already get it. So what I've done here is I've actually copied the same method, sort by name, into Visual Studio, and I would like to use the go to definition feature to actually show these global functions that are available to you and where they are coming from. And this is actually originating from a file called lib.d.ts. And this file has, I think, 60,000 lines of code. And it is the full list of DOM API and JavaScript API that is available in every browser. So whenever you use JavaScript, you have to memorize all of these, including the differences of slice and splice, what you ever have to look up. And but JavaScript TypeScript provides this under the hood, and it's very rich and well commented. The benefit is that all this information is actually not being added to your compiled JavaScript. So this file is really just there during compile time to give to assist you with the tooling. Another interesting aspect about this is the format of this file. So d.ts is a file ending that refers to definition files. And what we are basically doing is we take an existing framework, which in this case is JavaScript and DOM, and we describe its structure using TypeScript interfaces, for instance. And this enables to actually write definition files for other frameworks, because the JavaScript ecosystem is all about frameworks, popular frameworks like jQuery or even Node.js on the server. And you don't want to actually lose IntelliSense as soon as you use these frameworks. You want to continue having the same experience. And there is a large repository of these definition files where you can actually just go and get the definition file. And when we talk about Node, I will quickly show where you can get these files and how to integrate them. Okay, so I'm going back to yet another demo before I'm quickly going back to the slides and wrap it up. We haven't really looked into classes yet and modules. So I would like to just come up with a new example that shows how to use classes in TypeScript. And maybe I make that, yeah. So the class syntax is, again, aligned with ECMAScript 6. The idea is that once ECMAScript 6 is out, you have it very easy to read ECMAScript 6 code and TypeScript code. And it also allows TypeScript to later maybe compile to ECMAScript 6 compatible code or ECMAScript 5 and not change too much in the output. So let's come up with an animal. Very simple example. It can move certain meters. And let's have a look at the generated code on the right-hand side. So for the first time, the output looks a little bit different from what we have written. But if we look closely, we will actually find out that if you would have used just JavaScript and you would have used this class pattern, it would actually look exactly the same. So we have a function closure that nicely protects all my members inside. We have a constructor function animal. And on the prototype of this constructor function, there's a move method. So any object we create out of animal will have this move function added. Let's try to actually instantiate this animal. Okay. Well, we get an error here. Apparently, there is no constructor yet defined that would accept a string here. So let's just add this to the top. And syntax is again ECMAScript 6. Specific, very simple. And all that happens on the right-hand side is that the name is being assigned and the error goes away. There's also a shorter syntax to define a constructor function, which is nice if you want to actually have a more compact format. So you can actually define the visibility right up in the constructor. So public and private, I will talk about this in a moment. And as soon as you do that, This I have to remove, yeah. So this is the short format. You just say public name, and then the assignment will actually happen automatically. In our team, we decided against this syntax because one disadvantage is it makes it a little bit harder to read and understand what the properties of a class, like the members, really are, because they are hidden a little bit inside the constructor signature. But I can also see some value in doing that. Nice other feature is you can define default values. And we had optional properties before in the interface using the question mark. What you can also do is you can actually just type a default value here. And then in the generated code, you see we get this if type of name undefined, we actually set it to unknown. And then the language service will actually allow to create this unknown animal by just leaving out the parameter name. Talking about classes, another important thing that we might want to add is statics. So we can actually create a factory method to create a tiger here, and you just use the static keyword. And you can just return a new animal here. So if we now look at the generated code, not surprisingly, because this is a static on the constructor function, we actually get a new property on animal to create a tiger. Because if I actually create this tiger, you will see that all I'm doing is calling animal.createTiger. So I'm just calling this static. We can control the visibility of methods and members. So if we don't specify any visibility, like here in the move case, it will have a public visibility. We can just leave, we don't have to type public here, we can just leave it as is. But let's say there is a private method eat, and there we use the private keyword. If you look at the generated code, we still have an eat property on the prototype. So in JavaScript, there is no visibility, no concept of visibility. So TypeScript cannot prevent someone from calling your private method. It's really just a compile time thing because there's nothing like this in JavaScript. So now where it really helps you is if I try to call this method, you will actually see that eat is not accessible. So at compile time and through the language service, we get this additional help. One thing you will soon start to use, because object-oriented programming is also all about inheritance, is to actually inherit from this member. So you can just say extends, and we let a snake extend animal here. And for the first time now on the right-hand side, we see code generated that we didn't write. Well, we did write it, but not explicitly. And this is the only time where TypeScript will actually add code to your JavaScript that you haven't written and that is really needed to implement this inheritance chain in JavaScript. And if you look closely, you don't really want to understand what's going on here. So I will not explain it because I'm not sure what's going on there either. But this is what you would have to write if you didn't use TypeScript and you want to have inheritance in classes. And it's really tricky to get this right. So TypeScript is doing it for you. And this is really not something that would cause any performance issues. So what happens if you use the extends keyword, you can actually call the supertype. You can always call the supertype. You can also override members here. So if I start to move start to implement the move method, I will be able to actually call move on the supertype. I will be able to do something else here. So all the basic things of inheritance that you would expect are available here. So this is inheritance. One thing which is very common in JavaScript is module patterns. Modules allow you to group types in one namespace and export them and use them in other places. And the syntax for this is very easy. Again, all you have to do is wrap the type that you want to have in the module around a module statement. So we can actually say the module zoo contains the animal type, and we also would like to export this animal from the zoo. So these are the two keywords you will have to remember. Module to create a module, export to export types from this module and make them available to the outside. And if we look at the generated code, again, this is what you would have to write if you use modules. Again, the function closure is being used because it closes over the types inside so that they are not accessible and they don't leak to the outside. And then again, some cryptic code at the end that basically makes sure that the animal, that the zoo namespace gets the animal as a type that is being exported. And then on the other side, I'm now seeing compile errors because snake is not part of the zoo, which is okay, but we have to use the namespace now to actually use this type. And you can go really crazy here and make this zoo a larger namespace, so you can really compose it up by just continue to type this namespace pattern, and then in the generated code, you will see that this closure goes on and on and on. So you can have multiple module statements and multiple files. You can add to the same internal module from everywhere. So it's a powerful pattern. If you remember Eric's talk, he was talking about internal modules. There's also a risk doing this because anyone can add to this module, and you might not really know in the end what kind of namespace you're using. But it also has some nice value. Speaking of internal modules, there's also external modules, and that's what I would really like to emphasize, because for Monaco, the use of external modules was really a really good experience. And if you have larger code bases, external modules, I would say, are really the way to go. And there's two module systems around which are popular and used. The one is CommonJS and the other is AMD. So AMD is the asynchronous module definition, which is commonly used in the browser. And CommonJS is the one which is very popular because of Node.js. So Node.js uses this module system in all the code. Which brings up an interesting perspective. So for Node, TypeScript is also very useful. It's not just for the browser. It's especially useful for Node. And since we have a Node.js server, we started to convert our server into TypeScript as well. And with the support of this external module format in TypeScript, it was really a pleasure to write this code. And we are really happy with the way the code looks like today. So I'm here in Monaco. I just want to show Monaco for a while. It leverages the same TypeScript language service that we saw in Visual Studio and the Playground, because the language service is running in TypeScript. And what I would like to do is create a Node.js server in TypeScript. And I will just copy a small snippet here that I took from the website. This is like the Hello World Node.js. And what you see here is the CommonJS format. You basically require your modules. And in this case, we require the HTTP module to create our server. And we see an error here reported that require is not defined. And what we really want is we want to use the TypeScript syntax for modules. And the require can stay as it is, but you have to type import here. And this tells TypeScript this is an external module that I want to import into my project. So the first thing that we notice is, well, the language service doesn't know about an HTTP module. And what we have to do now is we have to actually get this TypeScript definition file into our language service. So I talked about this before. We are using now a framework which the language service doesn't know, and this is Node. And if I go to GitHub, this is the definitely typed repository where all definition files are actually stored for popular frameworks. So the community went ahead after TypeScript was released. They created this repository, and there is hundreds of contributors that built these structural definitions of frameworks and store it here, use Git to collaborate on them. They write tests. They update these libraries. It's really a nice open source community thing that happened here, because you can just go there and grab the definition file that you need. So I will add the one for Node. I have it actually on my file system, so I just say node.d.ts. And it uses the same format that we saw in the lib.d.ts. So lib.d.ts is provided for you without any extra cost, because this is available in the browser, so it's just provided. And then we will see here that the errors are actually going away. The definition file is loaded into the language service. And now you will also see that the tooling is able to pick up on the definition file. So for instance, the use of the HTTP module, now I can actually see what I can use in Node. And this is really the tooling that you want to have. You want to have the definition files loaded for all the frameworks you're using. Let's make this a little bit more interesting and add a second module, which is our own module. And we would really like to have a function here to create the server. So we can just export the function create server, which will do all the calls that we just have. And then I would like to use this from another module here, app.ts. So I will first import the server using the require statement. And in this case, it's a relative lookup. So the way this format works is if you specify .slash, he goes on the file system and looks for something that ends with server.js. So I don't even have to specify the JS here. And then the language service is, again, smart enough to follow this reference. It knows that I exported a function, create server, so it can actually just call it for me here. So a very simple Node.js example. More interesting now is how do I actually compile this into JavaScript. And since I'm using Monaco here, I choose to use the Node module. So the TypeScript compiler comes in several flavors. You can use it from Visual Studio. We will see that later in the next demo. You can use it from Monaco by installing the Node module. So what I did here before, I actually downloaded the TypeScript module, and it comes with the TypeScript command, TSC. And this is the one which is also being used in the Visual Studio to compile TypeScript to JavaScript. So let's see what happens if I try to compile my app.ts. So I get an error here that, that's actually an interesting error. Wasn't expecting that. Let's see what's happening. Import the server, equals require server. Okay, should work. Well, I can just try to go with the server here, see what happens. oh, I know, I did something wrong. Yeah. So I was cheating a little bit. The definition file is loaded in the editor, but it's actually not yet loaded in the right way. So what you have to do is here is a /reference format that is telling the language service where to actually find your definition file. So the /reference is one way of saying my type is actually dependent on node, on the node.d.ts file, because otherwise node.ts is just living in your file system and it's not really specified anywhere. So let me copy this into these places and make the compiler happy. I will try app again. Okay, this error I was expecting. What's now happening is that since there are two module definitions, AMD and CommonJS, the compiler doesn't really know which one to use. And we can actually use both to see what the difference is. So I will first start by saying, let's use CommonJS. That's what you would use in Node. And you also will notice that I actually just compile app.ts, but the output is app.js and server.js, these two files, because the compiler knows my dependencies, so it can just traverse the dependencies to go on compiling. And if I look into the generated JavaScript file, well, the code looks more or less the same. It's no longer import server, but var server, because that's the way how it used to be in Node. And here, the code is also looking very similar. So this would be valid Node.js code that you could execute. But let's try to use the AMD format just to see what the result is. It doesn't make so much sense in the Node environment, because in Node, there is no AMD. And you see, the syntax is a little bit more ugly. And Eric was showing this before. You list your dependencies, and then in this order, the dependencies are being passed into your function. And in Monaco, we have dependencies of 30 modules. And you can imagine this is really hard to read, and even worse to maintain and change. And so with this one format, import server equals something, even with 30 dependencies, your code looks very, very easy to read, and it's a pleasure to use modules with the system. And you have the same syntax for AMD and CommonJS, which means you can actually share your TypeScript code between server and client if you use Node, because it will actually have the same syntax. It's just that on the server it will be compiled with CommonJS, and on the client with AMD. Okay, I will jump back to the slides for a moment here, just to wrap up what we have learned about the TypeScript language itself. Doesn't really look good. All right, looks better. So we have learned that there is a very strong type system in TypeScript by using interfaces and classes and structural typing. But more importantly, there is a very strong type inference in TypeScript that looks at your code, infers the types, and then your type flow through all your functions all the way through, even if you don't specify the type. So in general, you will find yourself not typing everything in the beginning because you don't have to. We've used generics, which is a very powerful feature for our sort function. But to be fair, in Monaco, we use it for promises, which is very nice because promises are very useful, but they are only useful if the types are really flowing through the promise system, and with generics, they are. We have used Node, an existing JavaScript library, so to speak, with declaration files. You can use any declaration file, any library like jQuery in your project, and have the same rich IntelliSense experience. And we've also seen that as soon as we start to add types to our JavaScript code, the tooling was very happy about it because the tooling can start to provide refactorings, go to definition, and powerful search features. And it allows you to actually validate the code that you've written. Then we use classes modules. This is what you use because you're used to object-oriented programming, and when you have larger code bases, you have contracts, you want to express these contracts and classes, very lightweight and easy to do that. Modules, internal modules are powerful, external modules are even more powerful to structure your code. And all of this comes at no cost in the generated JavaScript code, plus it is closely aligned to ECMAScript 6. So when this is out and you know already TypeScript by heart, you will have fun with JavaScript as well. And these module systems are even actually running down to ECMAScript 3. So they are not, they are actually using the basic JavaScript features. In the last demo, I would like to quickly use Visual Studio again on a JavaScript project. And I would like to show how you can actually convert an existing JavaScript project to TypeScript, because that is typically where, you, where you're coming from. You have existing JavaScript code. And it's interesting to see how this conversion actually works. And I'm using Visual Studio for this. Just have a solution prepared that we can use as a demo. Let's see where it is. So as I said, with the update 2, TypeScript is a supported project type out of the box. And this audio scope example is a small IIS application that makes some use of JavaScript to show this canvas. It renders the amplitude of the wave file, has a little select box here, where I can switch between the files. Small project, but already beyond that, what maybe in 95 people would think you would do with JavaScript later. Let's quickly take a look at the code. So we have some JavaScript code here, some HTML code, so very simple. Yep, I'm getting this all the time, that's okay. So first thing you would do is rename your code. I will do that. I probably have to do it again because I'm renaming now, so let me first rename. Doesn't remember this. So this is just a warning that I'm changing to a file extension that they might not know. But more interesting is the project system now detects that I'm starting to use TypeScript. And he will actually ask me to use Nugget packages to resolve these TypeScript definition files. So I will not go into detail of how this works, but the idea is that when you use Visual Studio Desktop, there is a registry of definition files pre-configured so that it is really easy for you to install these definitions into Visual Studio by using Nugget. And this is just this is something we don't really need right now because we will not use another library, but at least it's useful to know. So we renamed JavaScript to TypeScript. That's the first step you have to do, and I will continue doing this for the other files. This is audiofile.js, and this is displayaudio.js. All right. And although we didn't write any TypeScript code, there's obviously already some errors reported here. And to understand why these errors happen, let's take a quick look at the HTML that we use. And what we actually have is a canvas element, wave view, the ID, and a select field. And when we look into the code, in app.ts, for instance, we have one error, which is this options attribute does not exist on the file list. And what's going on here is, well, we use get element by ID on the document, and what this returns is really an HTML element without any options attribute here. So we will just cast this to HTML select element, because we know this is an element in the DOM that is an HTML select element. So again, this comes out of lib.d.ts. All even UI elements are part of lib.d.ts, so they can be understood here. The second thing is an error in our other file, and it's a very similar error. We use get element by ID again, and we want this to be actually an HTML canvas element, because we know this is a canvas. And we are actually almost error-free. So if you can spot the error in the bottom right corner, it seems to be a spelling error here, so scale factor doesn't exist. And I can tell you this will happen a lot if you write JavaScript, because there is no way for the JavaScript language service to find out about these issues. It happened to us when we converted to TypeScript. We found very funny spelling mistakes that we did not cover through testing. They were just there, and we were really surprised how our application could survive them. And you might argue, well, I have a lot of unit tests for this, but I would argue at some point you will not have a test for everything. And even worse, this error actually comes in only when you have WAV files with 8 bits, and maybe your functional testing or integration testing is not covering this particular branch of the execution, so you will likely hit this issue. So already by doing these little steps, we fixed a critical bug in the application, and we are now a little bit more safe here and how the way in reading the and understanding the code and having the language service pick it up. What's interesting is that there are still lots of types that are not really typed. So let me try to find an example here. So the WAV file that is being passed in here still has the parameter any. That's what the language service is telling us here. And that is true. We just converted to TypeScript, but we didn't really do a lot of work to get TypeScript enabled. So what you actually want is, ideally, you want to be notified on any access to a type which is undefined. And if we look at the TypeScript options here, there is an option to not allow the implicit any type. And as soon as you enable this, you will see that where you actually thought you were done, you're not done converting, because now you see a lot of errors in your program that types are not defined. And there are some simple fixes here. So we can guess that scale point is probably a number. So I can just edit here. If it was a string, it would probably not make so much sense down here. So you can see you get a little bit of assistance through the automatic type inference, because there is some math going on down there with numbers. So TypeScript knows this must be a number. But again, you really want to type this explicitly to have it there. I have a second solution where the conversion is already done. As Eric was pointing out, this takes you around 300 lines per hour, depending on how complex your application is. And it's really the work you have to do is to understand your application, maybe for the first time, which is useful, at least the types and the structures you're passing around. If you already used a class pattern before, it's easier to convert to TypeScript. If not, it's challenging. And what we have done here is we remember the audio file from before, the WAV file, sorry. Now we introduced a class for WAV file, and we use it. And what this means for the language service is, well, we can actually start to use tooling support from Visual Studio finally over our code, because this member is being used in these places. We know it's a class, it's a property inside a class, it's a number property. We can do refactorings, we can rename it. So it's we help the tool to actually provide us with the tooling that we would like to have. It's not like an on and off switch, so you can actually gradually convert your code to TypeScript, because since every JavaScript code is valid TypeScript code, it's you're not forced to go all or nothing. You can do it type by type. You can use the any type in places where you where you are not sure about the type, and with this warning or error, you will later spot the work that you still have to do. Okay, we have around 10 minutes left. I will just quickly show some final slides, and then we should have some time to maybe answer some questions. Okay, again, this issue, no problem. Know how to fix it. No, that's unfair. Okay, we try it differently. So the ecosystem and TypeScript is starting to grow even more. So TypeScript 1.0 was announced, I think, at the Build conference. And it's open source on CodePlex with a lot of collaboration happening there, feature requests. I think they are starting to accept pull requests now, which is interesting because the community is also eager to bring in new features. This D.TS library system that I was showing on GitHub is powerful because it is the one resource to go to really get types for frameworks you are using into the TypeScript language service. And because everything is open source, lots of other tools jumped onto the tooling support, like not just Visual Studio and Monaco, but other popular development tools as well. Talking about the roadmap, this was announced at the Build conference, so 1.0 is out, and the Visual Studio 2013 Update 2 has it pre-installed, but you can still get this NPM a package for Node.js to use the compiler. You can also use NPM to get the compiler locally if you want to use it from your command line. And ECMAScript 6 is coming end of the year. And what's interesting is that TypeScript has to catch up with the features that are coming in ECMAScript 6. So the goal is that everything you can do in ECMAScript 6, you will also be able to do in TypeScript. And there are some interesting things coming in ECMAScript 6, like generators, that we are really looking forward to use. And yeah, as I said, parity is very important. What's also interesting is, as much as possible, TypeScript would try to be downwards compatible to ECMAScript 5 so that you can use some of the new features, but actually you don't require a modern browser to run them. And yeah, async await is really something that would be very useful because, for instance, in Node.js is very functional and callback-based, and being able to use async await in these areas would be really helpful. Some final resources. We were seeing this TypeScript lang.org. That's really the starting point with the playground, API documentation, and everything. YAMD. You can read it up there. Require.js is the de facto standard implementation for external modules for AMD pattern. An interesting blog post from Brian Harry, so TFS has also converted to TypeScript. They probably had more code than we, I'm not sure, but it's also a very large code base. And some interesting blog posts about how TFS approached the problem. And then Monaco itself, we have a Channel 9 with videos, and our blog is also interesting to read to learn more about Monaco. So with this, thank you for your patience. We have 5 more minutes, so if you have any questions, I have a microphone here. If you speak loud enough, you can also just talk, but let's try how it goes. maybe, yeah. Yeah. So the question was, can I actually use TypeScript to take JavaScript and generate TypeScript out of it? Unfortunately, that's not possible, and also that's not really needed, because you can always take the JavaScript code and compile it with TypeScript. It's totally valid, because TypeScript is a superset. And the work that you will have to do is type the code that you have imported. And this is something that I think TypeScript really, they don't really want to do that work for you. They can infer a lot of types, but what you will really end up is explicitly type everything, even return signatures from methods, because only you at the end know how the types are being created. I know that I think TFS, they wrote a tool to automatically convert their code to TypeScript, but it also depends how your code is written. So I think what they did is they had JS doc comments with parameters and annotations, and they just took those and converted them to TypeScript. But that's really up to you how you wrote your JavaScript code. Any more questions? Okay, the question was, how do you debug generated JavaScript? What we do in the Monaco team is we stick to the browser tools, F12, and since the code that is generated is so well formatted and so easy to read, we don't really miss the TypeScript code when we look at the JavaScript code. When you use Visual Studio, you will be able to actually debug through TypeScript code from within Visual Studio. So they really have the source maps generated. So as soon as you build in Visual Studio, the source maps get generated, and then the debugger is actually able to pick it up. Can you minify the generated JavaScript? I think we had this discussion with the TypeScript team to do that, and it might be on the backlog. But the reality is that there are a lot of libraries out there that already deal with this problem of minification, which is actually not a trivial problem. And what we use in Monaco is actually Uglify.js, which is one library to do it. And I think TypeScript just wants to be outside of the business of minification, but rather in the business of languages. And that's why they ask you to use a third-party library for this purpose. Yeah. Sorry, now I have problems to understand you. I think this thing is on.
When you created, you demonstrated the static method,
yeah,
and you didn't type that. Was that not necessary, or was it intentional?
So I created a static method, and the type inference. Oh, I have some echoes. So the type inference is not really distinguishing between static members or not. So basically, as soon as you write a function, the language servers will just look at the function. It knows the parameter that are going in, and it knows the parameters that go out. But it's actually a very good question. So how does the language service know the return type of a function? Because you can have multiple escapes from a function. And the language service actually goes inside the function, it looks at the types that are being returned, and then it will find the one that matches. But a common practice that you should do is you should really explicitly type the return value of the function and not just let the language service do it for you. It might have a performance impact for the language service to always go into your functions and read the bodies, and it's really part of the contract that you have that the return type is specified. So in Monaco, what we did is we enabled a warning that will just bail as soon as we forget to type the return type. And With this, we started to slowly actually add the return type to every function, just to be safe. Okay, I think we are done. If you have more questions, you can also come here. I'm still here. Thank you.